Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is horror director extraordinaire Darren Lynn Bousman, who's of Saw fame, and his latest creation is Saint Agatha, which is a very atmospheric, I wouldn't call it a period piece, but it is set in the 50s in rural Georgia in a very, very creepy convent. Welcome, Darren.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
So what was it about this story that piqued your interest, that you wanted to do it? Because it's, like I said, it's set in 1950s, it's set in Georgia, in a semi-rural area, in a convent that is creepier than usual, and a pregnant con woman on the run falls afoul of the residence, and she has to save not only herself, but her unborn child.
Yes, well, there's a couple of things. I mean, first off, I love movies with strong central female leads. And if you kind of go through my library of films from Mother's Day, which put Jamie King and Rebecca De Mornay at head to head, to something like Repo with Alexa Vega and Sarah Brightman, I just love seeing strong female characters. And I think that around the time that St. Agatha came to me, I was a father. I watched my wife go through, this extreme change of her body. And around the same time, if you remember a few years back, there was an insane kind of politician, I don't even know what you would call it, meddling in what women could do to their own bodies. And, you know, you had this whole Planned Parenthood debacle about, you know, literally government people saying, oh, this should be outlawed and we should outlaw this and outlaw that. And I watched kind of my wife go through a range of emotions from rage to sadness, as you saw that women couldn't even choose what they wanted to do. And then the script came to me at the same time I'm watching my wife and hearing her talk about this, which was a kind of true story. If you go back and research what happened in the 50s, it was a social taboo for women to give birth out of wedlock, and what a lot of them were forced to do, and they had no choice but to turn to other methods to deliver their children. And a lot of women who couldn't afford or didn't want the stereotype or social mark on them would go into convents and kind of deliver their children or their babies in secrecy. And a lot of times there was always ulterior motives going on to this. And when I started going down the rabbit hole and researching it, I found it to be an extremely eye-opening, shocking, horrific kind of story that had a lot of tie-ins to things that have really happened in the past.
Yeah, there were some very disturbing historical accounts of women in the early 1900s, late 1800s, even into the 40s, where they were taking children from poor unwed mothers and selling them to wealthier families. And that just appalled me to
exactly.
No end.
Exactly. And it's what I'm saying is, like, you, I always try to find some sort of truth in whatever I'm doing, whatever movie that is. And it was crazy because I started researching this idea, the strip. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm going to cuss. Holy fuck, this is real. This happened. No, my son just reminded everyone not to say that word. Sorry, Henry. So I thought that was my hook and that was my way in. So I was, that interested me. But then I met Carolyn Hennessy, who plays Mother Superior. And the movie is only as good as its villain. And I've been very lucky to work with some amazing villains, from Tobin Bell in the Saw franchise to Rebecca De Mornay in Mother's Day. I've been very, very lucky. And so I had a coffee with Carolyn Hennessy, and almost immediately I got that tingly, icy feeling I did when I met Tobin Bell for the first time. And I was like, she's got it. And she's got this ability to make you cold. I'm just scared of her, I'll be honest. Carolyn Hennessy terrifies me. And so I was like, she is a perfect person to play this role. Then add that to Sabrina Kern, which a fun fact about Sabrina. This is Sabrina's first movie ever. And she's actually from Switzerland. So she, you know, her native language is Swiss German. So I had just worked with her on an immersive theater project, and I fell in love with her. I thought her passion, and she was just this awesome person to hang around and be around. And she was so excited about everything, like everything we were doing. And it excited me to see how excited she was, because I was kind of jaded. I get jaded. I get angry and bitter sometimes. And so when the script came to me, I was like, you know what? It would be awesome to put a newcomer as St. Agatha. And so we got Sabrina St. Agatha and Carolyn Hennessy as Mother Superior, and that excited me.
What sort of suggestions for performances did you give them? Did you want to see a certain spark in either of them, or did you just let them run with the script?
I let them run. I mean, the reality is that they're better at what they do than I am. I mean, I can look at shots and look at, lighting or look at whatever and make ideas or suggestions. But I think when you're dealing with someone like a Carolyn Hennessy, who's been on TV for 30 some years and won multiple daytime Emmys, you kind of let her do what she does. With Sabrina, it was a little bit different because it was her first film. I guess I was a little trepid at the very beginning, or maybe that's not the right word. I was a little nervous. So when it comes to someone like Sabrina, who, it's her first movie, I was a little nervous. Like, this is a lot to throw at someone on the first time behind the camera. I mean, she's taken through the ringer. And again, don't forget, English is not her first language. But then on day one of shooting, it was just immediate that not only was she a pro, she was setting the tone for the entire movie. And I think she brought it and everyone else brought it because of her. So I didn't really have to do a lot as it related to the performances.
What about the setting, the atmosphere? Because convents, people already have, certain preconceptions about convents, and we've seen stories over the years about nuns being on the receiving end and the delivering end of questionable and abusive situations. What sort of tone did you want to set in the images that were coming across?
Okay, so Molly Coffey was the production designer. She's insanely talented and did miracles for a nothing budget. And I literally mean a nothing budget. But it was a kind of a, and I encourage your listeners to stop listening to the podcast and pause it for a second and watch the movie, because I'm going to spoil it. One of the things that was really hard as you're going into this, there's kind of a twist. It's a very easy twist to miss. A lot of people might miss it the first time, but it's not a real convent. In the very end of the movie, Mary kind of, or St. Agatha, calls out Mother Superior, and we find out that they're all con women, that at one time or another they were women of the cloth, and they all were nuns at one point, but that's long gone. These women are running a con, and they're basically using this place to bring women in and take their babies and off the women and take the babies and sell the babies. It's a money-making thing. And there's a couple of clues to this throughout the movie. One of them is a phone call that Mother Superior gets towards the end of the film, where she's like, I'll have your money. I'll have it in 2 weeks. So, I think that it had to play on numerous levels. One, some of the first convents that we saw were real convents, like real huge, beautiful, gothic, cathedral ceilings, stained glass windows, actual convents in Atlanta. And it didn't work because you had to buy. This was taking place in the dark, behind the scenes, with nobody knowing. And so it had to play in two worlds. It had to play in the world of this is a convent that these girls are in, but it also had to play in the fact that, no, this is a house in the middle of the woods, and they're just perpetrating this kind of lie.
Do you think the con illusion played out well? To have people mention that they were shall we say, taken in until the reveal?
Yeah, I think that, any discerning audience member is going to know there's something else going on here. And there are clues all throughout the movie, some of them subtler than others. So I think that when you watch the movie, there's a lot of clues that this is not a real convent. And I love those. And an example is, if you look at some of the religious iconography, it doesn't all match with Catholicism. And it's all very subtle, but it was something that was important to me to do. So again, if you're watching it and you're being like, we wanted you to call out certain things. So you'll find mixes of religion from, Catholicism to another religion, and they're all within the same kind of shots, if that makes any sense. And to me, that was kind of a fun, that was a fun thing to do. And if the movie goes on, you start seeing also Mother Superior drop her act. She stops wearing the full headpiece, and she stops wearing the traditional outfit, the habit. So that's actually what interests me. The original interest in this movie was a con woman against a con woman set in a convent. And I thought that idea, that kind of hook, is what really excited me.
Cool, because I had noticed over the past few years that there have been more and more movies featuring nuns. And I'm like, are just a lot of people working out some Catholic school angst here, or what's going on?
Well, if you go back to my last three or four movies have all had religion at the center of them.
Mm-hmm.
From The Devil's Carnival to 11/11 to Abattoir, they all have a religious connotation. And it just fascinates me. And I think that each one is me kind of exploring my own beliefs and how those beliefs have changed, from a 26-year-old kid to now a 40-year-old dude with two kids. And I think that, I don't know, it's just something that always has fascinated me.
Cool. So what are you keeping your eye out for your next project?
I've really gotten into doing what's called immersive theater. And for your readers out there that aren't familiar with what I do, please look up the Tension Experience. It's kind of a passion project of mine. I've been doing it now for the last 4 years, which if you've ever seen the movie The Game, it is very much the game in the real world. Westworld is another example of it, where basically we create a living, breathing environment that you interact with that is not passive. You're not watching it on a screen. You're not sitting behind your phone. You are in the middle of the real world interacting with real people, and you are put in the middle of a storyline. So an example is you uncover murder. So imagine a murder mystery taking place over the course of months and months and months in the real world, and all of our actors are in the real world. So you might get a clue to show up to a bar, and you have to go to a bar and talk to the bartender, and the bartender gives you a clue to go in an alleyway, and you have to get in a car, and that car takes you to a warehouse. And the entire narrative is revealed through your interactions. It's very intricate, very intense, and that's where the majority of the actors came from. The other nun, Paula, who by the way, gets the unfortunate in with the special body part, she was from the Tension Experience. Bobby King, who is the guy that they grift for money, and he comes back and collects that money from the Tension Experience. The doctor in the convent, he was from the Tension Experience. Numerous of these, Sabrina Kern was the lead of the Tension Experience. So these are all people that I've come to know and get to meet through my time working in this immersive theater world. So that's kind of my big passion. That's what I spend a lot of my time working on is that. And so I just think that to me is the future of entertainment, is requiring the audience to be active and not passive in the entertainment.
Cool. Well, I will definitely keep an eye out for the Tension Experience, find some links to direct people to. Darren, thank you so much for you and your son's time today.
my son thanks you as well.
The movie is Saint Agatha. It is on demand and on digital February 8th. Go check it out if you want a twist on your typical horror movie fare. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Always love talking to Darren and getting his insights on horror with each new project he gets involved with. And in the middle of that, there was the most adorable conversation between him and his son about a forlorn lollipop. But check out Saint Agatha. It's out on VOD now. And coming up next week, we'll have a little bit of discussion about the new documentary Horror Noir, which is based on a wonderful book by Dr. Robin Means Coleman. And the documentary is available on Shudder, which I think it came out this week, the 7th or the 8th. You should definitely check it out. If, you know, anything, get the free trials for Shudder just to see this documentary. It's well worth it. And we'll have more on that next week. For those of you who have been waiting for the next round of contests to come along, surprise, here they are. First up, we're going to clear out some of the horror-related ones, since this week and next week are horror shows. Just like last time, the rules are the same. Go to sliceofscifi.com, find the Contact Us form in the menu. Go to that Contact Us form, fill it out, please. I can't stress this enough. Use a valid email address so I can contact you back and send you your prize. All right. The prizes available for the next 2 weeks are a copy of The Cloverfield Paradox on Blu-ray, complete with 25 minutes of bonus footage, Voodoo codes for a free copy of the digitally remastered Rosemary's Baby, yes, the original one, and a copy of Stranger Things, Worlds Turned Upside Down, which is a hardcover behind-the-scenes expose for Stranger Things. It's actually wrapped like it's a comic book with the wrapping paper and the little sticker on it that tells how, you know, what the price of it is. It's different from the actual price printed on the cover. It's very, very 80s, very 80s. I think any fan of the 80s and of Stranger Things will find this book very entertaining. So you've got those three prizes available. Actually, there's two Voodoo codes, so technically four prizes. Again, go to the website, sliceofscifi.com, find the Contact Us form, fill it out with accurate information, and select Have a Different Question. And here's the secret sauce part. When you select Have a Different Question in the message box, along with any other comment you want to make, you have to have the phrase, "We're gonna need a bigger boat." Since we're tying in horror themes, just type in the phrase, "We're gonna need a bigger boat," and that should magically make the prize options appear. Pick one, pick all. And after next week's show, we will pick a winner, winners of the various prizes. And sometime after that, probably middle of March maybe, we'll have another contest, which will include the Star Trek Stellar Cartography book. So pay attention. Pay attention. That's all I'm going to say right now. So if you have any other questions or comments, please call in 602-635-6976. Leave a message, ask a question, or send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. And you know what? You can even ask questions in that Contact Us form. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and on TuneIn. You can also leave reviews for Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let people know that you are enjoying the show, and they might enjoy it themselves as well. If you're not listening through iTunes or Stitcher but want to leave a review, send me an email or leave me a message somehow on Twitter. I'm trying to figure out how to raise the profile of Slice of Sci-Fi again. Find an audience who might not know we're here. That year of silence we had a few years back did a lot of damage. We got forgotten. and trying to play catch up in this year where people are just rediscovering podcasts or figuring out, oh, wow, there's this new thing called podcasts. I've never heard of this before. Where have you been for the past 15 years? Seriously. Anyway, if you have any ideas on that, let me know. You can, like I said, follow us on Twitter. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. I do get involved in conversations with show creators, actors, and fans. Comic books, science fiction, horror, all the fun stuff. I actually can't wait. Cannot wait for The Expanse to start back up. Because Cass Anvar is very, very, very funny. You need to follow him. He live tweets. You do not want to miss that. He's funny. And yeah, I'll probably try to live tweet during The Expanse when it comes back too. Haven't figured that out yet, but I'll manage. Anyway, you can also follow us on YouTube or on Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on over, leave a comment, leave your own review of a review if you feel like it. If you have questions, science fiction, horror, fantasy, comics, ask them. I will endeavor to answer as best as I can. I thank everyone who is supporting the show through your pledges and donations. It is greatly appreciated. Everything you submit helps keep the websites online, helps keep the show media, all the show files for Slice of Sci-Fi and for Writers After Dark. Even the old shows like Babylon Podcast, those are still online and in iTunes for you. Charlie Jade is still there. For now, Dragon Page and Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas and Winging It are still there, but for how long, I'm not sure. I have until August to determine what to do with Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas and Winging It. I think those may be shutting down, but that's a discussion for later shows. If you want to help support the current endeavors here, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, or you can just do a one-time donation every now and then through our paypal.me link, which is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. I also want to throw a shout out to the geek rock band Sci-Fried, my very good friends, who provide the theme music for the show. If you like your rock and roll geek flavored, go check them out. Their website is sci-fried.com, or you can just search for Sci-Fried on YouTube and be entertained. They will entertain you, definitely. But that will do it for this episode. I want to thank everyone for listening and for supporting and contributing. You guys, the listeners and fans, biggest reason I keep doing this, because you are enjoying the interviews and the commentary that we're putting up here. So again, thank you all. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.